the first chapter of Genesis. You find that? Amen? Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 1 and verses 19. So the Lord was with Judah, and they drove out the inhabitants of the mountains. But they could not drive out the inhabitants of the lowland or the valley, because they had chariots of iron. Can you read that together? Genesis chapter 1, verse 19, together. So the Lord was with Judah, and they drove out the inhabitants of the mountains, but they could not drive out the inhabitants of the lowland, because they had chariots of iron. Amen. One more scripture, the book of Joshua, chapter 17. The book of Joshua, the 17th chapter. The 18th verse, Joshua 17 and verse 18 together. But the mountain country shall be yours, all of it is wooded. You shall cut it down, and farthest extent shall be yours. For you shall drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots and are strong. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Let's pray on those words.
Father, we want to thank you this morning. We pray, Lord, that you will give us a revelation, Lord, this morning. As I stand here as your instrument, Lord, I just humble myself before your mighty hand. And I acknowledge, Lord, that without your unction, there is nothing that I can do. Lord, the word that you wrote, you will need to reveal to us. And we pray that you will reveal to each and every heart this morning. Yes, Lord, our hearts are open before you, our minds are receptive. We set down the defenses that are against your gospel, and we say yes to your word. Amen. Your word declares we shall know the truth, and the truth shall set us free. Amen. This morning we have opened the truth of your word, Lord, which will set us free. Holy Spirit of God, move in each one of our lives to release us into the fullness of your truth, so we can be blessed this morning.
Amen.
In hands we come in our life, and we promise you the glory. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Genesis chapter 1 verse 19, one more time. The word of the Lord says there, God is telling the people of Israel, you shall go in and possess the land. And while they go into the land, the Bible says, they found out the mountains they could capture, but the valleys were full of chariots with iron wheels. And they did not have the strength to go and fight against them. And so the iron chariots began to rule upon those valleys and slowly began to creep upon the streets, and they could not even go out of their homes into the highways, or the children could not play there because of the danger of the iron chariots running over the children. Amen. Are you facing some iron chariot this morning? Some enemy that you're facing, not in the flesh, but spiritually, something that you are trying to battle this morning which seems so hard to you. You have got your mountains in your spiritual walk. You have had your victories and blessings. But there seems to be some low-lying area, some valley in your life which you cannot exercise your victory upon. And this morning I pray the Holy Spirit of God will help us to realize the word so we can walk in victory in those places too.
Amen.
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 Iron chariots on the valleys. When God gave the promise to Joshua, saying, Joshua, let my people go and inherit the land, and I am with you, go forward. Joshua was given a word which said, you will find the enemies with iron chariots, but don't fear them, I have given you them. The word was already given to Joshua. Later on, when the children of Israel are walking into that place, the Bible says they got hold of the mountains, but the valleys they could not, because of the iron chariots. They forgot the promise, they forgot the word, and they said, listen, the chariots are too big, the wheels are too strong. Sometimes it happens to us. We look at our lives and we say we forget the promise of God. We forget the word of the living God. We look at a situation, our circumstances, and say, listen, the challenge is too strong. This wind is too strong. Well, I want to show you from the scripture a passage which I have seldom preached, but I believe the Holy Spirit will help me today, from the book of Judges itself, in which God used a woman called Deborah to anoint her in such a way that God could use her and Barak together with her to bring about a victory for the Israelites against the people with the iron chariots. Amen. Victory against the iron chariots. Hallelujah. Let me tell you the background of the story. The Bible says in Judges 4 and 5, when you read it, the people of Israel did not even have a weapon in their hand. Imagine wanting to go out and face a battle in an iron chariot without a weapon in your hand. You can look at the intimidation that they're facing. They would have felt so intimidated, so strangely afraid, because the enemy seems much more stronger and they seem to have no way to go through against it. But God brought about a victory for them through this woman called Deborah. Amen. 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 You believe that God will give you a victory this morning? How many believe that? Lift your hand and say, I will have victory in the name of the Lord.
I will have victory in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now let's look to Judges chapter 4. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The book of Judges chapter 4. The reason for them being under the iron chariots is mentioned. And the reason is in Judges chapter 4 and verse 3. 1, 2 and 3, but I read the third verse first. The children of Israel cried out to the Lord, for Jabin had 900 chariots of iron, and for 20 years he harshly oppressed the children of Israel. Can you imagine that? Why were they oppressed by the iron chariots of Jabin or with the 900 chariots of iron? 1 and 2 verse says that. When Ehud was dead, the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. Why were they oppressed by the enemy? The children of God did evil in the sight of the Lord. And so the oppression came against them. In other words, the children of Israel were oppressed by the enemy because they backslid. They slide away from God. They no longer had a fellowship with the Lord. And they began to lead a life of compromise. This morning, are you leading a life of compromise? They led a life of compromise by worshipping idols and by lusting after the things that the idols could offer them. And because of a life of compromise, they suddenly found they were oppressed by the enemy, and 900 chariots are coming against them with iron wings. Hallelujah. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It always seems very hard when you're trying to make your way back when you're backslid. And when you look at the problems that are surrounding you, you don't know how to handle those iron chariots, and you have lost contact with God, and you don't know how to come through. But I've got news for you, you can come through.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. You can come through and have your victory this morning. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you oppressed by the enemy? 900 chariots. Think of it. And you're going to face those 900 chariots without even a sword. Can you imagine that? Hallelujah. You look at your problem and say, all these iron chariots come against me. I don't even have a sword. Anybody this morning with a problem like that? Look at the situation. Anybody here this morning? Let me pray for you. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, release them.
Amen.
900 chariots against them. Not even a sword in the hands. Sometimes it might be you're going through a place where you find all the creditors are coming around your door and saying, listen, where's the money that you owe us? And you don't even have a penny in your pocket. Amen. Or it might be, as a young child, while you are looking and you find all your exams are coming up, all through the year you are messing up and not studying, and now it's iron cannons. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, one problem after the other. Amen. Getting entangled after one problem after the other. You think you're free from one, and then suddenly you smile and step out into another one. Out of the fire into the frying pan. That's oppression. Are you with me? Amen. Hallelujah. But there is a way out for us. Amen. There is a way out of the living word of God for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now they were in the problem because they backslid. They were lusting and compromising, and for 20 years they were oppressed. And now in the chariots against them. But look at what happened. Look at the book of Judges chapter 5, how they got breakthrough. And I pray the Holy Spirit will absorb with, will release you to this truth, so you can walk in the blessings this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Backslide, it is time for you to come back home. Because the Father in heaven was waiting for you. Praise God. And it will also make my ministry a little bit more easier. Praise God. Hallelujah. Judges chapter 4. Huh? Before you read 5, let's read to the 4 once again. The 4th chapter and verse 3, it says there, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Amen. Amen. The children of Israel, what did they do? They cried out to the Lord. We have a God who answers us when we cry before His face. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. My spiritual father used to tell me, after everything that you have prayed, nothing works righteous. It will work. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. What about your children? When they cry, you begin to take care of them a little bit more, don't you? Judges chapter 4. The Bible says they cried out to the Lord. They cried out to the Lord. They cried out to the Lord when they were oppressed. That word cry in Hebrew means actually shriek. Get it? Just not small, small songs. But actually a shriek. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Some people do not know, they cannot even come into the house of God and praise the Lord. They're too sophisticated, too intellectual, too reasonable, too cultured to ever raise their hands before the Lord and to call upon His name. But God is looking for not people who want to look cute and nice all the time. He is looking for a group of people who will come like little children before His presence and say, Lord, I worship You. I call upon Your name. I am willing to cry forth in Your presence. I know You answer me when I call unto You. I am not ashamed of what people will think of me. I call on Your name, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can you imagine you coming into the house of God and not able to cry before the Lord? Then where will you cry? Amen. That word shriek, it also means shout, which means actually a time of exploding in praise. Amen. Sometimes people think, I always find people, the older they get, they suddenly think, okay, it is too childish. Sometimes you have to be a child. Amen. Hallelujah. You still like milk? You don't say, I don't drink milk because only children drink it. Amen. You have your coffee with it, don't you? Amen. Hallelujah. There's a child inside of you. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You still sit before the computer playing some of the games the children play? Don't you? There's a child in you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. You still attracted to sweets, aren't you? You know you are diabetes, you can't eat much sugar, but you still like to steal from the refrigerator. When your wife is not looking, is there another child in you? And what about that child in you when you come into the house of God? Suddenly you think you have to stand respectable and neat and nice and good. Come on, hallelujah. You may come and shriek before the Lord. Thy good chariots are in front of me, Lord. Nine of them, I do not know what to do. But I look to you and I bless your name. It's got the meaning gathering together to cry unto the Lord. Amen. Gathering together to cry unto the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's the first thing that they did. Are you with me?
Yes.
The first thing that they did was to come before the Lord and cry unto Him. Hallelujah. How was your prayer life this morning? Do you get up in the morning and cry before the Lord? Do you praise Him in the morning? Do you still bless His name in the morning? Amen. Hallelujah. It is said that a praying Christian will be able to walk by faith. Or in other words, a praying Christian will not need to carry his faith. His faith will carry him. Are you carrying your faith? Or is the faith in God carrying you? If you are a praying Christian, the faith in Christ that you have will carry you through. Otherwise, you will have to carry the infinite on your head. Faith, divine faith, is pretty hard. Are you with me? You need to get to a place where you spend time seeking the face of God. Amen. Hallelujah. You need to come to that place where you say, Lord, I worship you. I call on your name. What happens to most people when they see iron chariots? He said they try to call somebody else for help. That comes later. First, you need to seek the face of God. Call on His name. I would say telephones have made us less dependent on God. Amen. Praise God. Have you seen that? Because when you have no phone, and when you're faced with a situation, you don't call up anybody, you have to sit there and pray. That's why the olden times, some of the real Christian faith warriors were real strong in the prayer. Now because you have a mobile, the minute you hear a problem, call up somebody and say, you pray. And that person calls up somebody else and says, and respond and the people thrives on it. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. What would you have done if you had no phone, no contacts, no TV, no TV, and look into no computer? You would have never said, Lord, I cry unto you. Amen. Amen. There is a place I believe people in the Lord have lost it. Are you with me? You need to cry unto the Lord and pray and seek His face. There is no substitute for your relationship with Jesus in prayer. No substitute. You never outgrow it. You hear that? You never outgrow it. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Lift your hand and say, Holy Spirit, help me to pray. Oh, hallelujah. Ask Him genuinely from your heart. Come and ask Him. Hallelujah. Rudana Sanjayana. Rudana Sanjayana. Rudana Sanjayana. My Father. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. In Numbers 25 and verse 28, it says, from the mercy seat I will commune with you. Are you with me? The Lord said, From the mercy seat, I will commune with you. In the olden time, I know we have today what we call, we must have seen TVs anywhere, have gone for retreats and cruises where you find the altar call. Where the preacher, after preaching the message, he feels an anointing of the Lord upon him, and an anointing telling our people to come to Christ. And he says, listen, open up the altars, come to Christ. And people walk down, and they want to receive the Lord, I want to rededicate their life, I want to be blessed of the Lord. Amen. But the Salvation Army in a habit, and I like that word actually, I want to change that into that. Now, they used to say, whenever they used to invite people, they used to say, come to the mercy seat. Come to the mercy seat. And then my God will meet with you. Hallelujah. Come to the mercy seat. Can you imagine that? You might be bound in sin. You might be lost in your sin and in the darkness of your life. But there's a place you can come to the before the mercy seat of God where the blood of the Lamb will speak for you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, glory unto the name of the Lord. Are you all still listening?
Amen.
Amen. Second thing, Numbers, Genesis chapter 5. Before I get again, you get to Genesis 5 and Genesis 4. And verse 5. Genesis 4 and verse 5. And she would sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the mountains of Ephraim. And there the people of the children of Israel came up to her for counsel. I like that. Amen. Hallelujah. Sitting on Mount Ephraim. Can you imagine that? Ephraim means double fruitfulness. Amen. Double fruitfulness. When everything was dry around, there is Deborah sitting in a mountain of fruitfulness. Amen. Hallelujah. Which means your fruitfulness in your spiritual life does not depend upon the situation or the circumstance or the trial that you're going through. Amen. Here is things around her, so that everything dried up. Oppressed, but Deborah sitting in a mountain of fruitfulness. Sitting in a mountain of fruitfulness. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Wouldn't you like that?
Amen.
Wouldn't you like that?
Amen.
Wouldn't you like that?
Amen.
So how do you get in that fruitfulness? Psalms 1 says it so. It says those who meditate upon the law of the Lord, day and night, shall be like a tree planted by the stream. Whose leaves never wither. Amen. There is a place you come through by making sure that you meditate upon the law of the Lord day and night. I want to ask you one simple thing. What are you meditating upon these days? What do you think of the most in your life? What takes 90% of the time of your mind? That could be your idol. Are you with me? That is your idol. What you think of 90% of the time. The early Christian ministers, the Puritan preachers, they had, I love listening to them. And I love reading their material. That keeps you in a kind of standard with the Lord. And when you look at them, you will find 6 days a week they will be spending their time in the presence of the Lord in heaven. 7 days they will step out to preach. And the fire of God will fall. They were not weekend warring Christians. Are you with me? 6 days worshiping the Lord in His presence. On the seventh day they stepped out into the earth for one reason. To speak the counsel of God. Can you imagine that? We are all around. 6 days we go our own way. On the seventh day, for 1 hour or 2 hours, we come. Deborah is in double fruitfulness. Why? Because she knows how to spend her time with the Lord and to meditate upon the word of the Lord. She must have meditated upon the promise of Joshua saying, The iron chariots, the enemy comes against you, you don't have to fear them, your victory is on you. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can you imagine that? Hallelujah. Oh, amen. How many of you have lost here the grace that you once had to meditate on the word of the Lord? Would you lift your hands? I want to pray to you. Just want to pray. Father, in the name of the Lord, believe and you shall receive. Lord, I pray for every heart and every mind that has lost its ability to meditate upon your word, or to read your word, or to take fresh counsel from your word. Father, we believe only you can remove. And right now we ask you in the name of Jesus, your Son, right now, Lord, to rend the heavens and step right into their lives and tear away the veil of unbelief and the veil that separates them from receiving your word and functioning and meditating on your word. Let the glory of your word rest upon them. Let God and faith come alive inside of them. Once again, let them hunger and thirst inside each and every life. Let their hearts and their hands lifted up in prayer to receive your word.
Amen.
To be hungry for your word.
Amen.
To run after your word.
Amen.
To be on fire for your
Amen.
Word.
Amen.
Oh, yes, activate the means.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise be to the name of the Lord. The third thing. This iron chariots against them. You know what was amazing about Deborah? Not only did she have the willingness to shriek and to cry and to make sure she meditated upon the word of the Lord, but the ability of Deborah was such that when she was sitting on the mountain of fruitfulness, the Bible says all kinds of people came to her. I won't speak about the class of people who came to her now because we don't have much time. But all the people came to her. Why? Because they realized she had a word from God. She exactly knew what to tell people at the right time, at the right time. Are you with me? Do you understand and don't you know that if the world out there needs to see the glory of God, they need to see it on you. If they need to hear the word of God, they need to hear it through you. Amen. Amen. She was so much in communion with the Lord that she could receive from the Lord to give unto people. Are you with me? She knew exactly what to say. She knew exactly how to handle the problem. When you look at the scriptures, you will find Deborah, after a time of prayer and shrieking and crying before the Lord and waiting on the word of the Lord, she is giving an answer to people on how to win against the iron chariots. Amen. Let me give you something simple here. Remember this. In the book of Luke, the 8th chapter, you will find the Bible speaking about a woman, and the Bible calls her somebody, because Jesus herself called her somebody. Amen? She was a nobody, because nobody knew her. Amen? But Jesus made her a somebody. Amen? How many of you know that if you are nobody today, Jesus can make you somebody?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen? Amen? Mark 5 says that, Mark 5 in Luke 8 speaks about the same woman, and Mark 5 says that nobody knew her. But Jesus called her somebody. Amen? Hallelujah. I like it, somebody. Amen.
Amen.
I was a nobody before, but the Lord made me somebody. Wouldn't you like that in your life?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. The world doesn't have to make you somebody, the Lord can make you somebody.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, why did the Lord make her somebody? You know why? Because the Bible says she touched the Lord. We miss out on that scripture, don't we? The Bible says the only thing that she did was that she touched the Lord. Because Jesus said, somebody has touched me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not asking you this morning, do you pray? I'm not asking you to read the word of God. You need to do all that. But I am asking you, do you touch the Lord? Amen. What happens to most people is that they get a spiritual place, they do all the right kind of stuff, and they go out without touching the Lord. Amen. She became from nobody to a somebody because she touched the Lord. Let me tell you, it was not easy for her to touch the Lord. Because she was a woman. She had for 12 years the suffering of a flow of blood, which would have left her much pain, in much shame, in much kind of fear. And for her to walk through the crowd, there was a crowd around Jesus, and to reach out amidst the crowd. You know, we would have been happy just getting close to Peter and taking a snack. Hallelujah. Amen. It's so much, so many times happened. You can't believe that. When I was preaching in the Middle East, I went somewhere and the family went through was, you know, I was trying to get a blessing unto them. And I wanted to pray for them and bless them. And I didn't have much time, so I walked into this house, and the man of the house, the wife of the house, they're not there. I'm sitting there. They'll take a long time to prepare me something to eat. And they go out, and they're running about. And I said, what's this? Suddenly, they went to look for a camera to trick. Well, this woman could have just got near Peter or John. And could have even said, please pass on an intercession for me. Amen. But no. She said, whatever the discomfort is, no matter what the trouble is, I need to get through the crowd and touch my Lord. Amen. Well, Deborah was a woman, she was in touch with God. And that's why she was a somebody to give the word to a lot of others. Amen. Are you with me? Are you in touch with God? When you pray, do you say, Lord? I mean, do you just pray because you feel healing and you want to pray? Do you just come here to hear a sermon or touch the Lord in prayer? When you worship, just, do you want to just sing a couple of songs and go up? Or do you want to stand and say, no matter what the problem is, I am suffering, I got an issue of blood, I've been suffering for the last 12 years, nothing has been going right for me, the Lord of crowd, I don't even, can't find the right place to sit in, I can't find a place to stand, it's too crowded, but I want to touch the Lord in worship. Amen. Then you will find your blessing coming through. Hear that? She had a communion with God that she could give an answer. You know what happens when you touch the Lord? Two things happen. Remember this, three things happen. One, you receive power. Because the Lord said, power has gone out of me. You pray and you still find powerless. Some people say, I've been praying for a long time and still I go and sin. You have been touched the Lord. If you touch the Lord, you won't sin because you will find power in your life. This woman with an issue of blood, she touched the Lord and there was power. The Lord said, power has gone out of me. Can you imagine that? Power has gone out of me. Can you imagine that? Hallelujah. There is power here this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I touched the Lord this morning before I came here. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Two, she suddenly realized she was healed. The problem vanished when she touched the Lord. Are you still praying for a long time and saying, nothing has happened, nothing has happened? You know why? Because you're praying. I'm not saying you didn't pray, but you didn't touch the Lord. Three, because she touched the Lord, you know what happened? She had a testimony. The Lord said, somebody touched me. And she got up and said, I'm the one. She had a testimony. Some of you have lost your testimony, you know why? You have been touched the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How many want to touch the Lord this morning?
Amen.
Well, Deborah was in touch with God. That is why she could say, listen. This is what you do. This is what you do. This is what you don't do. No, I couldn't even get to the fifth chapter. I could have done the other day in the second chapter. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Well, let's get to Judges 4 one more time. Shall we? Are you tired? Whatever I'm saying, you'll find the scripture that you can just read on. You can read for the chapter later. Remember this? They were oppressed by the chariot. And then Barak said to her, the fourth chapter, verse 8. Barak said to her, if you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go. I like that. So she said, I will surely go with you. What a man of God. Amen. Hallelujah. It is some pastors won't be able to see that this is a woman preaching. But I encourage that. Amen. It is said that when God can't find a man, God will look for a woman. You get a man's job done. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. A pastor came to me and he told me, in our church, no woman preaches. I said, I want every woman in my church to preach. Amen. But if Barak had the humility to say, please come with me. I'm going for a cruise in North India, please. Come with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh God, raise up the bonus in this place. Barak said, I will go, but if you will not go with me, I will not go. So she said, I will surely go with you, but next word is important. Nevertheless, there will be no glory for you in the journey you are taking for the Lord, who will sell Syria into the hand of a woman. Amen. Hallelujah. What am I saying? Some of us, we would say, listen, I want to have my big preach and I want to have the glory. So you find people coming and saying, listen, I was going through such a severe oppression. I prayed through for 12 hours and 16 hours and I got my victory. You got the glory. Some people will come and say, listen, I was going through a tough situation. I was fasting and praying for 40 days. Good to fast and pray for 40 days. But if that becomes your glory, there's a problem. God shall not share His glory with anyone else. Amen. Amen. No work of the flesh will glory in His presence. Amen. You might have to do all that, but not to take the glory, but actually to give the glory to the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And we know the story. She goes, she gets the victory. Amen. She goes and she gets the victory. Gets the victory. 20 years oppression vanishes. Why? Because they are willing to shrink. They are willing to meditate upon the word of the Lord. They are willing to look not to the circumstances but unto the Lord. They were willing to call upon the name of the Lord. They are willing to be in touch with the Lord. Are you with me? And obey the Lord. Whatever Deborah said from the word, they obey. Are you with me? Obedience always brings in a blessing. Amen. Now let me give you just three people here who didn't go with Deborah. And the reason for that is some of the reasons why you won't go forward when you see an enemy against you. One, in the 15th and 16th verse of the 5th chapter, and never make this mistake. This is a song of Deborah, and she's speaking about the victory that they just had, and she says, and the princes of Issachar were with Deborah, as Issachar, so was Barak, sent into the valley under his command. Among the divisions of Reuben, there were great resolves of heart. Did you find that? Great resolves of heart. Great resolves of the 12th night, God is saying, Reuben, will you come? There was a problem with the divisions of Reuben. They had great resolves of heart. You know what that means? They just needed to figure everything out with their head before they could move forward. Are you with me? Are you with me?
They want to figure everything out. No more trust.
Let me say the Lord.
You want to figure everything out.
If I obey the Lord and step forward, what will happen to me? I said, you said wait, but what happens if I wait? Amen? Hallelujah. Some people never walk into their blessing, you know why? Because the results are hard. They want to figure everything out. What the tomorrow is going to be, what the day after tomorrow is going to be. Why this happened in the past? Why certain things are happening around them now? I want to figure everything out. Those kind of people will never step forward. Amen. But it's amazing to find that God never judges them or condemns them. God was just patient with them. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. The second group is the verse 17. The 15th chapter, verse 17. Judges. Gilead stayed beyond the Jordan. And why did Dan remain on ships? Asher continued at the ship shore, Shishor, and stayed by his inlets. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm pronouncing a different accent this morning. 5:17. Gilead stayed beyond the Jordan, and why did Dan remain on ships? Asher continued at the seashores and stayed by his inlet. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. In other words, we have been too busy. Are you with me? They were just too busy. They have their own cute little problems and businesses and things to look after. And they didn't go forward. Do you want to see the iron chariots defeated and do what he means for you? Amen. Watch out for these two dangers. Never get to a place where I say, I want to figure everything out before I move forward. Some people will never get to full-time commitment. You know why? Because they say, I want to figure everything out before I step into full-time commitment. What happened 20 years from now? Some people is from other era. Amen? They were right. They got their own little beautiful things to do. They don't have time. They just don't have time. Amen. Hallelujah. I was looking at the word in Nehemiah 2, where Nehemiah is saying, the Lord has entrusted to me a great work. What a man of God. He knew the work that he was doing was a great work. He gospel. Yesterday, you know, I was thanking the Lord for one little statement. One of my spiritual sons said, he said to me, I said, I'm sharing the gospel with so many youth. And I was grateful for that one statement. He understood the privilege of sharing the gospel with someone. Great work. Amen. It's a great work. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. These people had other works. And they have no time. Even when Christ said you should have a week, they said, no. We have our business to do, we have our families to look after, we have our children to take care of, we have so many things out, we can't do all this. It's amazing to find that God never cursed them. And God never judged them. Are you okay? Amen? God was still patient with them. But God cursed one group alone. And was many people. 5 was meant to be. Curse Meroz, says the angel. Said the angel of the Lord. Curse its inhabitants bitterly, because they did not come to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. Imagine that. Ah. In other words, they did not take sides with the Lord even. Amen. See, God might understand if you say, listen, if you are truthful to Him, say, Lord, I got a lot of things. You need to come to that place where you are fully surrendered. But God will understand if you still say, Lord, I need to come through. I need help. I need grace. Here I am offering myself. He will also understand if you have conflicts going in your mind and say, I want to reason everything out. I say, okay, I'm patient. You can have your victory now, but if you want to reason everything out, find out. It'll take a long time. But I'm still patient. But when you come to a place where you say, I won't take sides with the Lord. Are you with me? That's it. Curse. Curse. Amen. Hallelujah. Whose side are you this morning? Whose side are you this morning? I can't even hear you. Amen. We are the side of the Lord. Amen. Always sitting on the side. Amen. We are the side of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, the Americans had a missionary, the first missionary of America. You know who it is? It was a man called Adoniram Judson. I gave the Bible to some people to read. Adoniram Judson, the first missionary from China for the gospel. Well, he, can you imagine that, what at the age of 12, was teaching the book of Revelation in the Sunday school. Amen. At the age of 12, he was teaching the book of Revelation. We haven't even heard that name from us. He was teaching the book of Revelation at the age of 12. And his pastor says, he took a stand for the Lord, even at a young age. What the rest of the children would do, he wouldn't. He would say, I belong to the Lord. Are you with me? He's never too young to be used by God. Amen. God called me and started using me at the age of 19. I wish He had called me a lot more earlier. Amen. I feel like a 50-year-old today, but still. I wish He had come much more earlier. Mothers and fathers sitting in this place, make sure that you teach children to take the side of the Lord and to meditate on the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The ones that were cursed were the ones that did not take a stand for the Lord.
Holy One.
Every day you are faced with an opportunity to stand for the Lord against in life. Amen. You can either deny Him by your words or by your silence. Amen. You know the silence. Mountain Sambaram. It's not a good one, bro. Amen. Take a stand. Are you with me? Take a stand. So you will walk in the blessing of the Lord. This morning, anybody wanting to take a stand for the Lord? Anybody here this morning who wants to say, I have an accident, I want to come back, I want to be restored, I want to see the iron chariots broken, I want to see the bondages broken, I want to find favor with God, I want to find my prayer life restored back, my restoration back in the Word of God, I want to come back to Jesus, walk with Him, take the side of the Lord, and be His and His alone. I want to be the bride of Christ and nothing else. I want Jesus Christ to be magnified. You have never taken a decision for the Lord, or maybe you have taken a decision for the Lord, but you step out of the decision to go back into the world. You need to rededicate your life. You are a backslider. You need to come back. You need to commit your life completely to Jesus Christ. If you want to do that, lift your hand up. Let me pray. Stand up in the presence of the Lord. There's a whole lot of people here. Let's pray together.
Hallelujah.